Crate. Thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Morena Troy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm just here taking all the power for the headphones.
Troy's got very flash headphones he brings into the studio because, to be fair, our BFM headphones are quite crap. But they use up all, they like steal all the power from the desk. So
I think I said they take all the juice out of the
take
sound.
Take all the juice out of the sound. Yeah. But you know what? It's worth it because it means you get crystal clear listening to these awesome tracks you've brought us.
That's right, I do.
What have you brought us, Troy?
All right, well, the first one we're going to go for today is another one which would have been out had April 18th been Record Store Day.
Ah, I see.
Still has the sticker.
This is kind of nice, though, because it means we get to sort of, like, talk about them at length rather than, you know, you getting a big glut in one go and
that's
some
true.
Of the good stuff getting lost.
And you still get
and
the record. You still get the Record Store Day sticker.
You do, you get the sticker. Now, this one here, back in 1989, when you were talking hip-hop, you generally didn't think Detroit, Michigan. Mm. It was a New York thing. It had started. It was a Los Angeles thing. There wasn't too much happening in the Midwest, except for this guy, whose name was Awesome Dre.
Rap stands for reprimanding all perpetrators. I'm Awesome Dre and I came to demonstrate a new style. That's kind of wild. While other rappers choose to be mild, I say what
this
I
is
feel.
Awesome.
Down what I
isn't it?
Yeah. Got much money, don't
have to steal. So he well writes off. And produces one, all his tracks?
Yeah. Awesome Dre was the kingpin of his little thing. Down
to the concrete ground in the street right here in Motown. My town, Detroit murderous.
Whoa,
yes.
Look at his coat on this record cover. This is some big Neo in the Matrix vibes going on here.
Holding two guns.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the guns, eh?
I don't think they're real.
No.
He's got Men in Black vibes going on as well. The sunglasses, the snappy suit. What's the problem? Lost your morality. So tell us more about him. How did he sort of like end up on the scene? What was his kind of backstory?
Well, I actually don't know. I thought that I'd never heard of him until this record. But when I listened to it, I'm like, wait, I have heard a couple of these ones. He was signed by Priority Records.
Okay.
Only did one record with Priority. It would have been 89 or 90. And then just disappeared. He's still around though. He came back about 25 years later and did an EP digitally.
Really?
And everything. Yeah.
Oh wow.
So he's still doing his stuff. But what I really dig about it is that while on one level you can go, yep, he's definitely listened to Ice-T,
yep.
The four original gangster, you know.
Yep.
You can also go, well, yeah, he's this and he's that. But really, it has kind of got a good Detroit sort of roll to it.
Yeah, yeah. What am I for a kid to look up at? What's going to happen when the kid is up to bat in this game? It's kind of interesting when you get a release like this that helps sort of revise history a little bit and say, yeah, there was actually heaps of stuff happening in these other scenes that maybe got a bit overlooked at the time because there was, fair enough, really good stuff coming out of other cities or other places.
See, the dominant narrative of anything is always dictated by money and special interests.
Yeah.
That's what the dominant narrative always is when we're looking at history. Fact is, there was stuff happening everywhere, all over the world, all
the
time.
Yeah.
And we've overlooked a lot of this stuff because, I mean, how would we have known about it?
How would you find it all? Yeah. And we didn't have the internet either. So there you go.
I think this guy's got a great sounding voice.
He's awesome. Awesome Dre. It's real life and it can get kind of gory, not hunky dory.
Cause it's do or die in my territory. Don't sorry, so wrong. What year did you say this was?
89.
Places. You know where you come from, son, so don't act dumb.
Talking that we shall overcome. He's coming in absolutely. Oh, someone said he sounds a bit like Young MC.
Yeah,
yeah, a little bit, yeah.
What does Young MC sound like now?
No, they were kind of at the same time, different place. So, You Can't Hold Me Back is the name of this LP. Awesome Dre and the Hardcore Committee.
I like, not, you know, the crew or anything, it's the committee.
The committee.
They have a proper structure, they take minutes. They have a secretary.
And tell us about why you found it difficult to put this particular track on.
Because it is a beautiful, translucent red record. It is gorgeous.
And is this special? Is this the special record day red, or are they all red?
No, there is only they only pressed enough for a record store day special.
Oh, cool. Okay. So you want to get in there fast if this sounds like a bit of you, because limited edition, and it looks very nice, and it sounds fantastic.
I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's very cool. That's an example, a very small portion of material exposed to the public, but they don't care because they live it and they love it. On the other hand, a radio program, don't want to hardly hear a man say, damn, that's stupid. They're living in a fantasy. That's awesome.
So this it's on a label I've never heard of now called Block Global.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Licensed from Priority, or probably licensed from Awesome Dre himself.
Cool.
And before anyone goes, why does he call himself Dre when there was already a Dr. Dre? Well, it's obvious. Dre is short for Andre. It's a dude's name. It's also Dr. Dre's name. Dr. Dre's not actually a doctor. Shocker.
What?
Oh.
This is mean. So what is this particular track we're listening to?
This one here is called Frankly Speaking.
Frankly Speaking by Awesome Dre. What is the name of the record again, Troy?
You Can't Hold Me Back.
You Can't Hold Me Back.
Yeah.
And that is a belated record store day special.
Be quick, we've only got a few. So that's that.
That's that.
Oh!
And what is this?
Now, a few years ago, you might have heard of a band called Tutard.
Tutard.
They're from the Golan Heights, which, you know where the Golan Heights is?
No, I do not.
Yeah, you do. It's the mount. It's the disputed area between Israel and Syria.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So people from the Golan Heights are stateless. They don't have passports.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, a few years ago, a band playing this sort of weird amalgamation of sort of light reggae and Touareg style desert blues came out, right? That's what they were playing.
Okay.
So you're safe to assume, oh, that's what these guys are all about. Well, no, here's their next record, and it's completely nothing like it at all.
I defy anybody to try not to dance to this. It's really groovy.
Now, what you hear and what you actually see on the cover is a 1986 affordable synthesizer called the Yamaha PSR62 Oriental model. Now, that was affordable enough that across Egypt and Lebanon, it became the defining sound of that locally grown sort of pop dance music of
That's
the late
so cool.
80s. So the two brothers out of Tutard got hold of one of these. They remembered that their parents had one when they were kids.
Oh, so these guys are brothers?
These are brothers,
oh,
yeah.
Nice, okay.
They remembered their parents had one, and they thought, right, we'll make a record. We won't do Arabic classical music, which I assume is what Mum was playing on the thing at home.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would you say that?
Yeah.
And instead, they look to the kind of, the light sort of disco-inflected style of particularly the Beirut sort of sound that was around at the time. And they made a whole LP like this. And it's pretty cool.
It's very cool. I've got to say the image on the front is very cool too.
What did we say about it before?
I can't remember. What did we say about it before?
We said it looks like a parallel universe Sleaford mod.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah. He's carrying the Yamaha on his shoulder with a very serious expression on his face.
And the other dude, his brother, has a microphone.
And it's also got kind of Devo vibes as well, something about this kind of image. It's got that slightly...
Yeah.
You know, Mechanic Man kind of thing going on.
Ready for action. The other thing about it is because it's two brothers, keyboards, vocals, you think Sparks.
Yeah.
And Sparks isn't, like, way off when you listen through this album.
So this track is Wanderlust, and this is out on Glitterbeat.
Correct, yeah.
Never heard of them either.
Glitterbeat is a great label, or a great two labels, actually, that originated in Germany, but now, like I said, it's split into two, and the stuff they put out is all pretty much current, current stuff from artists, who doesn't matter what nation they come from.
That is very cool. I'm a big fan of Tootard. And you said Tootard means strawberry.
Strawberries.
Isn't that lovely?
Plural in Arabic, yeah. Strawberries. Migrant Birds is the name of the album. It has it's in Arabic, but luckily on the inside, on the inner sleeve, you will find all the lyrics in Arabic and in English, so you know what it's all about. And that one there, Wanderlust, is about wanting to drive in your car and not go home.
That's quite nice. Relatable stuff there. What are we listening to here?
Right now, we have something from a gentleman by the name of Kasim Naqvi. Now, Kasim is on Erase Tapes.
Okay.
And you look like you haven't heard his name before.
I've not heard his name, but you say Erase Tapes, and I'm like, well, that's a good indicator. It's probably going to be very good.
Right. So there was a trio, an acoustic trio on Erase Tapes called Dawn of Midi out of New York City. And Kasim is the drummer of that group.
Cool.
Now, last year he put out a record called Teenagers, plural, not teenagers.
Not just the one.
Teenagers.
Oh, Teenagers.
Teenagers.
I got you. Okay.
And that was a record he did entirely on a modular synth, right? Now, this here was also intended as a Record Store Day 1000 only release. And what this is, it's called Betas. And what it is the first sketches he put together when he first got that modular synth,
yep,
to like start working towards Teenagers. So it's like a companion release to it. And as you can hear, it's super simple.
Yeah.
And the simplicity was basically said because at this time, his modular setup basically consisted of an oscillator and a random pulse generator.
Cool.
So he'd feed in like simple patterns, mm-hmm, and let the machine suggest to him where it was going next.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
That was his compositional technique. And this is... this one here, I know it's a bit unfair. This one's called Matic, and you can hear that this one is basically just one very simple repeating, oscillating rhythm.
It's amazing, though. It's got that really hypnotic sound, feeling kind of like quite drawn into it as a track.
Well, what he also said is that when he was doing it, you know, doing these beta versions of Teenagers, is the electrical pulses going through weirdly gave it a kind of human sense of error or frailty.
Cool.
And like, if you listen now, you can kind of see what he means.
Yeah.
Or hear, rather.
Yeah. The other sense.
Yeah.
It is hypnotic. I find myself getting quite like swept up in it. And it's got a beautiful cover too, this painting on the front, sort of like dark objects in a room, a little bit abstracted. You've got a little candle in the corner, and then the rest is all a little bit mysterious.
The cover of Teenagers, ages, not agers.
Teenagers, like the ages of teen.
Yeah, that's a picture done in a similar kind of painterly style, but it's of some faces, some people,
Some teenage people.
Yeah. What do you think, Tess?
Yeah.
I'm
swept up.
Wasn't enough. There wasn't enough beat for you, or not? Or is it
no,
okay?
No, I enjoyed it. It was good. Yeah.
What do you think of this?
Yeah, this is jollier.
Jollier. Fair, it is jollier.
So, and what we've got on side one of this is basically the Betas. Side two is a from a live performance he did with the London Contemporary Orchestra elements of Teenagers, the album.
That's awesome.
So
that would be a fun thing to see live, I reckon. That would be quite immersive, I'd imagine, seeing it.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'd wonder whether I'm grown up enough for such a thing, but...
Yeah, you have to have a red wine and look
I can't do that.
You know,
I won't be doing
sensible
that.
And wear a lot of black and, you know.
Yeah, that bit I could do, but not the other bit.
Fair enough. Hey, remind us what you brought in this morning, Troy.
Right, on Erase Tapes, 1000 only, Kasim Naqvi, we're hearing him now, Pakistani-American.
Awesome.
There you go. And his album is entitled Betas. Now, before that, a duo, Tootard, Migrant Birds is the name of their record on Glitterbeat. I think it's their third record, though I've only heard the one before it and this one, the one that sounded desert rock reggae.
Mm-hmm.
And we started off with From Detroit, Michigan, from 1989. Some people say the golden age of hip-hop. Some people say his coat is great. And as for that double-breasted suit,
very, very swanky.
Awesome Dre and the Hardcore Committee, a limited reissue of You Can't Hold Me Back.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Troy. We will race you to the shop for those.
I'll be at the shop before you.
See you there.
Okay.
From the Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.